Joining us right now, Ian Begley, my guy who covers the Knicks and the Nets and the NBA for SNY TV. He's just a hoops talk guy. He knows what he's talking about. We're about to talk Knicks. We're about to talk Sixers in that first round matchup. Ian, what's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Keith, what's happening, man? How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for making the time tonight. I know you're busy, especially around this time of the season as it's play-in tournament time. I know there's no games on tonight, but we watched the play-in tournament last night. I watched it right here, and I'm looking at the Sixers. I thought they were cooked in the first half. They were down 13. I was laughing. I'm like, choke artist, Philadelphia. You can't spell Philly without two L's. I'm looking at Embiid. I'm like, is he hurt? Is he not conditioned? Is he tired? Is he hobbled? I'm like, this is the team that's going to beat the Knicks. This is the team that the Knicks are supposed to fear.
You know what? Joel did not look good. He didn't look like himself. I think early on he looked a little bit more sharp. But, Keith, I'll say this. In those big moments late in the game when Philly needed something, he delivered. He had 10 of their – he was responsible, I should say, from 10 of their 11 points in that swing late in the fourth quarter that really gave Philly the game. So, you know, yes, he didn't look good. He still made big shots, and maybe that – he can carry that with him into this series, which starts Saturday, game one. So I say all that to say, don't sleep on the big guy. He's a former MVP, very good player. Let's see what he can bring over the course of the series.
How do you think the Knicks plan on defending Joel Embiid? How do you think they plan on stopping the reigning MVP?
Yeah, you know, it starts with Isaiah Hartenstein. If you remember, the Knicks blew Philly out a couple of months ago. That was actually the first game where Miles McBride really started to shoot it well. And Hartenstein defended Embiid. He defended him really well. He blocked a couple of shots. He deterred him around the rim. So I think it starts there. And I think what you have to worry about with Embiid is the pick and roll with Tyrese Maxey. And in that instance, the Knicks big man is going to get pulled away from the paint, pulled away from the rim. They don't love that. They like their big near the rim by and large. So that's something to keep an eye on. But you have Hartenstein. You have Mitchell Robinson, who is nowhere near 100% in terms of conditioning, but he's going to give you everything he has. You could throw Precious Achiuwa at him. You could even throw Jericho Sims at him if you just want somebody to go in there and be physical with him for a few minutes. So they have options. I would say out of all the teams in the league, they have the most depth to throw at Embiid, and maybe that makes them the best positioned team to face Embiid over the course of a playoff series.
Yeah, now I have the converse question for the People's Champ, the People's MVP. How do you think the Sixers plan on stopping Jalen Brunson? I don't think they have anybody that could check him.
You know, it's interesting because they have length, and in that same game that I was talking about when the Knicks blew the Sixers out, you saw Nick Batum pick him up like full court, and obviously Batum nowhere near as fast as Brunson, but he's got a big wingspan. Kelly Oubre Jr., another guy with a big wingspan. So they have guys who can at least get in his way, make him a little bit uncomfortable. But if you've watched Brunson over the last 2+ months this season, I mean, nobody's been able to stop him. So I would assume for Philly, it's less about trying to shut Brunson down and more so about trying to mitigate the damage that other Knicks could do, maybe like a Dante DiVincenzo, because Brunson's just been on another level of late.
Now, I had a take about Julius Randle. I had two takes. One I retracted, right? When the news came out about Julius Randle, I was like, oh, that's it. They're not going to get the team back. They're not going to get the band back together. They're not going to be able to do it. And then I thought about it, and I looked at the box scores, and I watched how they played after that news, and I'm like, wait, this is a different team without Julius Randle. They've evolved. They've changed. And the take that I had that I'm not retracting is maybe there's a silver lining here, right? Julius Randle, a lot of people give him flack for quote-unquote failing in the playoffs. A lot of people were hard on him last year, 2 years ago. I think that without Julius Randle, it's Brunson's show, and then it's the supporting cast around him. I think they're going to move the ball. I think other guys are going to have a chance to shoot, a chance to rise. And maybe the silver lining here is that they play better. Maybe they get further. Maybe they just, it was written in the stars for them to go deeper in the playoffs without Julius Randle. They got OG back. They got Mitch back. You know, what do you think about Julius Randle? You think they'd be better off with him, or you think they're better off without him?
Look, man, Randle is a lightning rod. For good and bad, when things are going bad, he usually is the one who catches the flack. So the theory is going to be put to the test. That's certainly going to be the case over the next few weeks here. I think one thing that you've seen, obviously, the ball in Brunson's hands much more, and he has the freedom to create for both himself and his teammates. Not saying he didn't have that freedom prior to this, but Randle, to be effective, needed the ball in his hands. That's just what it was. Not a good thing, not a bad thing, just how it was. And the Knicks, let's not forget, they were playing really well with a healthy Randle and with OG Anunoby after Anunoby was dealt to New York. They had that crazy January. Randle was a pivotal piece there. So I think people kind of forget about that. But yeah, the theory is certainly something that Knicks fans are thinking about or wondering about. And yeah, we'll see how it plays out over the next few weeks. The one thing about the postseason, obviously everything slows down over the course of a series. Teams get so used to each other, and you need guys who can create their own shot. They have that in Brunson. They had it in Randle. Randle not being there, I just wonder if the game slows down, you have to rely too much on Brunson, where else do you go?
Yeah, you go to Dante DiVincenzo. You go to Josh Hart, you go to OG Anunoby, Miles McBride. I've made a lot about the fact that these Villanova kids played a lot of games in the Wells Fargo Center, that they're comfortable down there, that the arena's only 90-minute drive away, and that Knicks fans have already taken over Wells Fargo Center. Do you think that gives them any type of advantage on the road? I don't think it works the other way around. I don't think the Sixers are coming up here to the Garden and having any advantage in New York, but I think the Knicks fans and the Knicks players are going to feel right at home down there in Philly.
You know, if you're comfortable in an arena, I think that matters. If you have had success in the past in a certain arena, I think that can only help. It can't hurt you. At worst, it's a neutral factor. As far as the fans go, I don't know, man. Every time I'm at a Sixers playoff game, that place is loud, full of Sixers fans. So I would be surprised. I mean, we're not talking about a regular season game here. I would be surprised if we heard, you know, let's go Knicks in the Wells Fargo, and it wasn't fully drowned out by Sixers chants. I do think the Sixer fan is going to be out and going to be loud for the games in Philadelphia. But I do what you say, I believe, is true in terms of their past success, the Nova Knicks' past success in Philly at the Wells Fargo Center, and that, again, potentially being a plus for them.
Another question for you. We're on the phone with Ian Begley. He covers the Knicks for SNY. You've probably seen him on SNY TV. You've probably seen him on Twitter as well, at Ian Begley. Why do you think the Sixers are favored? Why do you think the Sixers are the betting favorites in Vegas? And then also, how many games do you think this series is going?
I assume Vegas just sees Embiid, and that's where it starts, right? That's the only thing I could assume, because if you look at the totality of the regular season, you know, the Knicks seem to be playing really well going into the postseason. Sixers undefeated since Embiid has come back. But I don't know. I look at the Knicks as a stronger team top to bottom. But I assume it's about Embiid and about the people setting the odds, expecting Embiid to make a huge impact on this series, both ends of the floor. I don't know if they're seeing, though, the conditioning for Embiid. And I think if you're the Knicks, you try to take advantage of that, right? You make it a full-court game. You push the ball in transition. You play 94 feet. You force Embiid to defend pick and rolls again and again and again, and you try to kind of wear him down. So I think there are ways the Knicks can not neutralize Embiid but make him less effective. If they're able to do that, they should have success in this series. As far as number of games, Keith, I would go six. I'd probably go six. I do think because of home court, the Knicks should get through. It's not going to be easy. I think it's going to be a very good series, but I think it'll go at least six.
Yeah, so it's two in New York Saturday at 6 p.m., game one. Monday in New York at 7:30, game two. Then Thursday, they'll go down to Philadelphia for game three at 7:30, and then a 1 o'clock Sunday game in Philadelphia. Now, it's TBD the rest of the way, but it goes New York, Philly, New York. I've been saying Knicks in five. I just honestly think that I think the Knicks have a better chance of winning in Philadelphia than the Sixers do. I think by the time we get to game four, these guys are going to be tired. I think the Knicks have been running and playing a lot of minutes. I think Embiid is soft. I think they've choked so much. I think the Sixers may get that first game in Philly, or that second game in Philly, but I just feel like a gentleman sweep is coming.
What about Maxey, though? I mean, let's not forget about Tyrese Maxey. He can turn the corner on a pick and roll. He's a blur with the ball.
They're going to need him to be. He wasn't himself in the play-in game, and I know that's one game.
Yeah.
I've spoken a lot about Embiid supporting Cass. They've had Jimmy Butler. They've had Ben Simmons. They've had James Harden. Now it's time to see what Maxey can be as the Robin to his Batman. I don't know if Maxey is ready for the bright lights just yet.
It's going to be interesting, and you know it's going to be a hostile environment in the Garden for him, but he is such a talented player. And Buddy Hield kind of has gone under the radar, but he is the one player that, you know, he could come in a couple minutes, stretch, get hot from beyond the arc, and make a big impact on a game. So, yeah, I think Philadelphia, you know, the depth, I would give the Knicks the edge in depth. But
that's the next thing I was going to ask you. Do you think the Knicks have the better bench than the 76ers?
I would say it might be a wash, but, you know, the Knicks bench, it's got to be better in this postseason than it was last postseason. The Heat bench destroyed the Knicks bench in that second round, but it's very different, right? It's very different. It's about Bojan Bogdanović. It's about Miles McBride and if they're knocking shots down. And Miles McBride, when he's hitting shots, and he did really well for the Knicks, in that stretch where they had no OG and an OB and they didn't have Julius Randle, he was part of the reason the team was able to tread water and win games. If you get that Miles McBride off of your bench, if you're the Knicks, that's a huge plus, but that's an unknown. But Bogdanović, shot it poorly to start. He started to make some more shots more recently at the end of this regular season. What does he bring to the playoffs? And so I think it starts with those two when you look at this bench. And then, you know, Philadelphia, I just think when you look at their depth, you see some guys where you can throw different looks at Jalen Brunson defensively. I don't know how effective it'll be. Again, it doesn't seem like anybody has been able to stop Brunson over the last 2 months. I'm sure they'll be aggressive. And then for Brunson, it's how do you deal with getting that second defender and then getting the ball out and getting the Knicks the 4-on-3 on the other side, and how do the Knicks take advantage of that? Brunson's been very good at that lately. I'm sure he'll see a lot of attention against the Sixers. We'll see how he deals with it.
Yeah, what do you make of the comments from Reed and some of the other Sixers? I feel like the Sixers players, and they have some older players, some veterans, I feel like they're taking the Knicks kind of lightly. And I do believe in bulletin board material. I think it's going to be chippy. It's New York versus Philly. I think it's going to be a tough battle. But ultimately, I just think the Knicks are the better team. They're the better conditioned team. They have the better bench. They have a better score right now. I think Brunson's going to be able to get his buckets more so than Embiid. What do you think about the discourse, the back and forth, the chatter so far once we've learned that they're the matchup?
Oh, Keith, it's great for our business, right?
Yeah.
We love it. But I think I was in Philly actually last night and talking to some of the guys about the Knicks, and they were very respectful. They talked about, you know, the Knicks earning their spot, very good team. They're going to have their hands full. So there wasn't a lot of that last night after they beat the Heat. You know, Paul Reed, he's on a podcast or he's on a television show, internet show, whatever. Maybe you got a little excited. What I'd like to know is what was Nick Nurse's reaction to Paul Reed's statement. I would imagine he wasn't thrilled with it. But, hey, the Knicks, I think they were motivated before before Paul Reed said what he said. And maybe it's motivation for them, added motivation, but I don't think they needed any more motivation. I think the group, that's one thing about this group, like just their step-by-step approach to day in, day out, doing the little things, and they're so committed to winning and to having winning habits. I don't see this thing, the Reed thing, as having much of an impact at all in that locker room. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they put it right on the screen as they're running through their plays, but it just seems like they're locked into a specific way of thinking, and they're not going to let anything from the outside kind of disturb that.
Last thing I'm going to leave you with, Ian, I hate to say it, but the refs are going to play a factor in this series, bro. I guarantee it. With that foul merchant that Joel Embiid is, always, you know, seeking and looking for the foul. And trying, the refs, depending on how they are with the whistle on him, and if they're not calling fouls for Brunson, We're going to know it right away. They are going to play a huge factor in this series. Mark my words, everyone listening to me, these refs got to be on it.
You know what, Keith? That game last night, they really let those guys play. That turned into a really physical game. And I don't know if that would continue with this series, but I think it would make for a good basketball entertaining series if they let them play a little bit, let them be a little physical. It's the playoffs. Brunson, we all know, the Knicks don't feel that he's officiated fairly. They feel like he takes a lot of contact and does not get the whistle that he deserves. Maybe by making that public in the ways, subtle ways that they have, maybe that influences the officiating in the postseason. But yeah, the officiating certainly is going to play a role here. How many times can Embiid get to the line? Can he get Hardenstein in foul trouble? Can he get Robinson in foul trouble? Can he get his team into the bonus? Those are all going to be factors, and we'll see how it plays out. I'm excited. I mean, I feel like this town is behind this team in a way that I haven't felt a Knicks fan base behind a Knicks team maybe ever, and I've been covering them 10-plus seasons. It didn't feel this way in 2012, 2013, because that team kind of came out of nowhere. This group feels like there's more of a sustainability. It feels like there's just a confidence of the MSG crowd in person that this Knicks team could get down 10, 12, 14 points in a first half. Maybe in years past, fans would start booing and boo them off the court at halftime. But the fans seem to be more confident, have a little bit more patience with this group. That seems like a good thing to me.
That's a great thing. I think they believe. I think they trust these guys. I think that Knicks fans are ready for this run, and I think it's going to be a long run. Ian, I appreciate you, man. My show is running out, but thanks for making the time for us. You're the best.
Pleasure's all mine, Keith. I appreciate you, man. Take care.